Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank third quarter 2014 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO of FinecoBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Fineco's third quarter 2014 results conference call. Let's start immediately with the key highlights of our results. As usual, to facilitate the historical comparison and the trend analysis, we adjust our P&L for non-recurring items, more or less 5 million euro of IPO-related cost, and 1.3 million as exceptional contribution to the Deposit Guarantee Fund, Fondo di Deposit Interbancaria, this quarter on provision for risk and charges. With a net profit of about 114 million euros in the first 9 months, plus 43% year-on-year and above 36 million in the third quarter, plus 57% versus the same quarter of 2013, we posted an extremely good result, further showing the strength of our unique business model and our capability to fulfill client needs. Our bank confirmed the structural growth trend, which overcomes the usual seasonality factor in the third quarter. In the first 9 months, we recorded a strong increase in revenues, more than 18% year-on-year, and the continuous growth of our client base. Therefore, excluding non-recurring items, mainly IPO-related costs, the profitability stands at a remarkable 37%. Operating costs kept on a very efficient level at 150.7 million euro net of IPO cost. You have to take in account that starting from this quarter we have fully in place the new stock granting plans, as we will see more in detail in the next slides. Excluding this effect of discontinuity, our cost grew only 3.4% year on year and declining minus 4.7% quarter on quarter, despite the strong growth, the strong pace of growth of our total financial assets and revenues, a proof of the strong operating excellence of our bank, able to grow in a sustainable and efficient way. Now, let me point out some key drivers of our profitability. First of all, the solid increase of total financial assets at 48 billion. At the end of October, with a double-digit growth in comparison with December 2013. Net sales keep on growing very well at 3.1 billion in the first 10 months, well above the net sales of the world 2013, which amounted to 2.5 billion. The month of October recorded a strong net sales at 297 million euro. That is a plus 139% in comparison with the same month of last year. We have been able to add 86,000 new customers to our client base. That is plus 20% with respect to the first 10 months of 2013, leveraging on our high-quality network of 2,542 personal financial advisors. Finally, thanks to our business model, we have a very liquid and low-risk balance sheet, which led to a sound Core Tier 1 transitional ratio of 19.8%. Now, if we move to slide 5, we can make some comments on results. We generated above 36 million of adjusted net profit in the third quarter, which implies a remarkable return on equity of around 35%, 7 percentage points higher than the same quarter of last year. We are very satisfied of these results, which are also very resilient in comparison with the previous quarter, overcoming the usual seasonality factors, this respect, I would like to give you some highlights to better understand the quarter-on-quarter comparison. As anticipated, following the IPO process, we have now fully in place the new stock granting plans. Around 3.3 million of discontinuity on cost this quarter, with the aim to further align the performance and the remuneration of our key people and personal financial advisors to the maximization of shareholders' value. A strong penetration of our guided solution is under acceleration, and in this respect, an overachievement of the financial planner's target is foreseeable. As you can imagine, this is extremely positive forward-looking. So prudentially, we posted in this quarter higher fee and commission expenses versus the previous one, anticipating a higher bonus for our financial planners. On a nine-month basis, net profits was 140 million adjusted, which means a robust increase of more than 43 versus the same period of 2013. Revenues are up 18.4% versus the first 9 months of 2013, while costs were up only 5.7% and almost flat quarter on quarter, despite the new stock granting plans in place mentioned before. As last point on this slide, I would like to highlight the level of our tax rate set at 35%, a full Italian tax rate. And moving on slide 6, then some comments on revenues by P&L items. Slide 6, you see the drivers of our solid revenue performance, which benefit by a very diversified stream of revenues. Net interest was up 25.7% in the first 9 months of 2013, reaching over 172 million, thanks to volumes dynamics, our investment policy, and cost of funding practically close to zero. But we will touch all these points more in details in the next slide. Fees and commissions rose about 18% in the first 9 months, confirming the strength of our platform. Even though quarterly dynamics took into account the seasonality which usually caps third quarter business performance, we have been able to grow almost 16% versus the previous year, and we are very satisfied about that. As mentioned before, the quarter-on-quarter comparison also includes higher fee and commission expenses related to the likely overachievement of the financial planners' targets connected with the strong penetration of the guided products. Some words also on the brokerage side that recorded also this quarter a resilient level of commissions despite the very low level of market volatility. In this respect, I can also anticipate you that the month of October has been so far the best month of the last 3 years for brokerage, showing how our bank can leverage on a very diversified stream of revenues. Trading income, finally, benefited in the third quarter from higher over-the-counter activity, mostly CFD, contract of difference. I want to highlight that our trading income is mainly related to our internalization activity, as we are able to directly match part of the client's orders, and so its nature is a commercial one. Moving to slide 7 on net interest. Let's move more in depth on the net interest. Again, one of the key drivers of Fineco's performance is our capability to attract what we call transactional liquidity. This liquidity is very cheap and sticky, not driven by interest rates, but linked to the high quality of our banking platform. Sight deposits keep constantly growing up by more than 14% year on year and over 3% quarter on quarter, contributing an 176 basis points margin to net interest in the third quarter 2013. Regarding the security lending contribution, we saw a reduction in this type of revenues from 270 basis points to a more physiological level of 49 basis points, following the stabilization in the Italian government bond yields. At the bottom of the slide, you can see the gross margin on our 13.6 billion of direct deposits, 1.88% in the first 9 months of 2013, and the related cost, 40 basis points, which is continuously going down. As we have a stable bonds floating rate portfolio with no significant maturities before 2017, we can leverage on a pretty stable gross margin, on which the only reduction is related to the decrease of one-month Euribor from 0.22% in the second quarter to 0.07% in the third quarter. The good news on this side is that now it is at the lowest probably possible level. Some comments on cost. Moving the next slide, the cost dynamics show a slower pace compared with the strong commercial and revenue growth, highlighting our highly scalable operating platform built from scratch and based on completely brand new technologies. As mentioned before, costs include a discontinuity related to the new stock granting plans put in place at the beginning of July, which weighted about 3.3 million split between staff expenses and other administrative expenses. You can find all the details about these plans on page 23 of this presentation, including a fully here estimate about the impact in the range between 3/3.5 million staff and 3/4 million other administrative expenses. Other administrative expenses are up only 4.8% year on year, excluding the IPO costs, mainly to sustain the growth. Let me move to the slide 9 on capital ratios. Fineco confirmed itself to be strongly capitalized and able to support future growth, with a common equity Tier 1 ratio transitional of 19.76 and a very low risk balance sheet. Let me now briefly update you on a recent evolution about the way in which the leverage ratio must be calculated. We know that the leverage ratio is one of the main points of attention by the market on Fineco, and so we have some interesting developments underway. On October the 10th, a commission delegated regulation has been adopted by the European Commission, amending current text in place in the regulation CRR number 575/2013, capital requirements regulation, which regard to the leverage ratio. One of the major substantial changes introduced is the possibility, subject to the approval from the competent authority, that in this case is Bank of Italy, to exclude intragroup exposures at individual level, aligning their treatment to the risk-based capital requirements. As you know, intragroup exposures are weighted at zero as credit risk. In the next three, at maximum 6 months, the formal approval by the European Parliament is expected, and then the publication in the official journal of the European Union. Finally, the competent authority will release a waiver for whom asked it, and clearly Fineco is going to ask this waiver, and we don't foresee any issue about that due to the substantial alignment of the intergroup exposure in the calculation of leverage ratio with the risk-weighted asset treatment and concentration limit. It's worth mentioning that applying this new regulation, our leverage ratio will substantially increase. We estimated that it could be higher than 6% as of September 2013, leading our bank in a comfortable position with respect to our future dividend policy. Slide 10. Now some comments on TFA. Now let's move to the commercial performance. Here you can find quite a long historical series of Fineco's total financial assets, and as you can see, it's extremely consistent and continuously growing. In the first 9 months, we have already generated more than the yearly amount generated in the past 3 years. This fact further highlights our capability to further accelerate Fineco's commercial growth. Together with a positive market effect, adding 3.1 billion of net sales, the best results to date of Fineco, we have been able to reach 48.1 billion total financial assets as at the end of October 2013. Finally, such growth has been coupled with an increasingly better quality, with the percentage of gathered products over the total assets under management growing over time from 32% to 34%. Slide 11. This slide further highlights the breakdown of the total financial assets and our successful effort in order to attract high-quality assets. Assets under management are constantly growing and now representing 47% of the total, with a rising part being represented by our guided solutions, which are more profitable and generate high customer satisfactions, thanks to the high quality of the service provided. As you can see on the right side of the slide, the penetration of the guided product and service is accelerating a lot, moving from 32 as of September to 34% as of October 2013. Slide 12, related to personal financial advisors, our personal financial advisors network is working very well, and it has been able to generate around 2.8 billion euros of net sales in the first 10 months of 2013, 9% more than the whole 2013. I would like to point out the quality of our net sales. As shown on the right side of the slide, out of 28 billion of net sales, 2.8 billion of net sales, around 80% have been gathered by the existing financial planners, and only 600 million by the new financial planners recruited this year. This proves the soundness and the sustainability of our growth. Sound balance between organic growth and recruitment. Fineco is also able to attract new high-quality financial planners. We have been quite successful in this respect, getting on board 109 additional financial planners throughout 2013, perfectly in line with our expectations. So now if we move to slide 14, and we have a breakdown of revenues by product area. In this section, I will give you more color of the performance of our product areas. Banking revenues show a very upbeat growth, almost 15% year-on-year, driven by the solid development of our deposit base, which translates in a sustainable net interest growth. Additional upside has been stemming from the investment policy already reflected in the first half of the year revenues. Investing revenue dynamics was also extremely positive, almost 60% in the first 9 months and 0.7% quarter-on-quarter, despite the seasonality which usually affects the third quarter performance. As mentioned before, the quarter-on-quarter comparison also includes higher fee and commission expenses related to the likely overachievement of the financial planners' targets connected with the strong penetration of the guided products. Brokerage revenues have been impacted by security lending business mentioned before, which was stronger last year, but The core revenues recorded also this quarter a very good and resilient performance despite the very low level of markets volatility. On banking, slide 15, as mentioned before, banking revenues rose by 49% year-on-year, largely driven by net interest, which at the end of September reached about 160 million euros. Direct deposits grew almost 9% with respect to the first 9 months of the previous year, almost flat quarter-on-quarter. Worth noting that the vast majority of our deposit base is made of sight deposits, meaning that we benefit from transactional liquidity at very low cost. Our solid client base keeps on improving. In the first 9 months, we acquired 70,000 new clients, an increase of about 17% compared with the same period of 2013, which become 86,000 new clients, including also October. Slide 16, brokerage. Brokerage core revenues, which excludes the security lending business and does not include net interest, grew above 9% in the first 9 months of 2013. We are very satisfied about the performance of this business, very resilient, recording also this quarter good results despite the very low level of markets volatility. As said before, thanks to the increased volatility, the month of October has been the best month of the last 3 years for brokerage, even if, as you can see on the right of the slide, volatility remains at a relatively low level, because the uptick we experienced in volatility in the month of October has been really modest in comparison with the big jump in volatility characterizing the past years. As of September 2013, Fineco confirmed itself as a number one online broker in Europe by executed orders, 18.1 million plus 8.6% in the first 9 months of 2014. Slide 17 on investing. Investing business dynamics further highlights the strength of our unique business model and our positioning to capture healthy long-term sector dynamics. Investing revenues strongly grew year-on-year, about plus 16%, supported by the continuous increase in assets under management, and this trend is clearly accelerating, also thanks to a very nice environment that we are enjoying here in Italy. And also very important for us, we are extremely successful in moving asset under management towards guided products characterized by better services for the clients and higher profitability for the bank. In this respect, I would remember you that quarter-on-quarter comparison has been affected by higher fee and commission expenses related to the likely overachievement of financial planners' targets. We will now open the call to questions, and many thanks.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Matteo Ramenghi of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. First of all, on leverage, clearly such a regulatory change would be very positive for Fineco and also for your ability to set a different dividend policy. And I was wondering if there was any consideration that you may share already. We were all thinking that the dividend payment would be a function of reaching a certain leverage ratio in each year. and you know, what would be your thinking on changing that if that regulatory change goes through? And the second, a bit of a detailed question, but I noticed a small reduction in the provision for risk and charges in the balance sheet, and I was wondering if there was any particular item to take into account. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let me start with the first question. So regarding the leverage ratio, as we discussed several times during the IPO process and meeting with the investors, we explained that never we have been particularly concerned regarding the impact on the by the leverage ratio on our dividend policy for several reasons. We explained that the regulations was underway, and so it was reasonable to expect a different treatment considering the different nature of the leverage ratio, and this is the case with the new regulation. And second, clearly the bank is expected to keep on growing very nicely. And the third, our business model is definitely a capital light one. Putting everything together, we have been not very concerned regarding the impact on the leverage ratio on our possibility to distribute dividends. And clearly, considering this new regulation, we are even more comfortable. And so, but clearly, we have not yet fixed and established any guidance in terms of dividend policy, and we will take the final decision in the following month. Regarding the provision for risk and charge. So, regarding this point, I want to make a preliminary remark on this point. The dynamic of provisions for risk and charges is not expected to be a perfectly linear process, because clearly you can always have some unexpected events. But having said that, we can say that the bank is continuously enjoying. We expect on the long term a continuous decline of this kind of risk and provisions, because the quality of the network, the level of controls, and our business model is more and more driving the bank in a situation in which frauds are expected to be constantly lower. Again, a word of caution that clearly is not linear, so I'm not able to perfectly predict what is going to happen in the next couple of months, but if you make me a question, which is going to be the position of the bank in the next couple of years regarding frauds and so on, I'm expecting a continuously declining trend.
Thank you very much, and if I may, a quick follow-up. I noticed the Core Equity Tier 1 capital is remaining broadly flat in the quarter in spite of the healthy profit and the increase in intangible equity. So I was wondering if there was any item explaining that.
Is related to the increase of investment in government bond lending that we didn't made in the last quarter, but we did in the previous quarter, but we did in the third quarter 2014. This is the only difference.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Gianluca Ferrari of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. Some questions from my side as well. On this potential leverage ratio new ruling, do you have an idea about the timing when, in your opinion, this is going to be unveiled? My second question is on the churn rate of clients. It seems that total clients went up by 21,000 new clients, but when you're giving us the 86,000 new clients as at the end of October, in Q3 you added 32,000. If I made numbers properly, in Q3 the churn rate increased a little bit, so you lost a bit more clients than in the first half. Is this something that you experienced? And if so, what is the explanation? The other two questions are pretty quantitative. I would like to know the number of internalized orders in the 9 months. And finally, if you can give us the line placement of securities that you have in your financial report, just to calculate the overall margins you had on the investing segment. Thank you.
Excuse me, may you repeat the last question, because we didn't get it.
Yeah, in the commission income, I was wondering if you can give us the placement of securities line, which is the proxy of the management fees you gained in Q3. So just to help us to reconcile the profitability you had in Q3.
So regarding the timing on leverage, so is more or less what I explained before. So now the regulation has been issued. So now there is a 3 month period in which the European Parliament can make changes on this, and they have potentially another additional 3 months in the case they want to dig a little bit more in depth. So the best case scenario we can have by January. We can have by January receiving the final green light by the European Parliament. In the worst case, it's going to happen in a 6 month period. But clearly, this is not particularly important for us. This is going to happen in 3 months or 6 months. For us, what is important is to know that now there is this very high probability that this regulation in force, and this clearly is going to be considered in when we will decide which kind of dividend policy we are going to adopt. On the churn rate, I can confirm you that our churn rate is pretty stable, and is in the region of 5%. Is 5%, and so in the real point is that the difference that you are observing is not related to more clients leaving, but because in the first quarter we had definitely we acquired more clients. For a very simple reason, because in the first quarter usually is the period in which we are more active with our marketing campaign, and so this is absolutely in line with the seasonal effect. So now, by the way, we are going to resume our marketing campaign in the next few weeks with an additional flight, and so. But in any case, I can confirm you that we have a pretty stable 5% churn rate. Regarding the internalization of the orders, we are internalizing more or less 20% of the orders on the officially traded market, and practically 100% of the over the counter activity that is mainly related to CFD, Forex, and so on. Regarding the last the last question. This question, because we are not sure that we perfectly got your point.
Yeah, no, I was just asking, in the total commission income, you are giving us the net commissions, but I was looking at the gross, so the commission income. The two major lines are the trading of financial instruments and the placement of securities. I was just asking this second one.
Sorry, are you looking on slide 22?
Uh, No, actually, I was more referring to the definition you have in the financial report, but it's not a problem. We can follow up later on.
Okay, sorry. We put everything together and we give you the details later on.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Atanasio Pantarrotas of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for taking my question. I've a few left. One is related in the FA recruiting. If you can give us some color of what is the experience of the financial advisors you are recruiting, if they come from other networks or from bank experience. The second question is if you can provide us what is the proportion of equity investments on the asset management, so not the security but only on asset management of your clients, just to have the roughly asset allocation of your client. Third question, if my understanding is that the total cost of the stock granting plan could be between 6 and 7 million euro per year. Can you confirm this also for the next years? And finally, I saw that you are pushing a lot of advertising, especially on trading activity. I wonder if there is any reason, so if you like to attract more traders or it's just a matter of seasonality and in any case you prefer to attract clients and more focus on asset management. Thank you.
So regarding the recruiting, let me give you some flavor on recruiting. So first of all, clearly, a very important point to fix is that in our case, recruiting, as we explained before, is a component of our growth. So we remain mainly concentrated on the organic growth of our net sales and total financial assets, because clearly is definitely much more sustainable on the long run. And so this is confirmed by the fact that 80% of our net sales has been made by the existing financial planners and the remaining part for newly recruited financial planners. So clearly for us, recruiting is a way to increase the powerness of our engine. Is not a substitution of the growth. We are perfectly aware that we have other players on the market that they are operating in a completely different way, in which the most part of the net sales are represented by recruiting. But again, we think that in terms of sustainability, soundness, we think that this is the right approach. For these reasons, the financial planners we are recruiting are financial planners that we tend to recruit financial people that have still a potential for growing. So we are not interested in exclusively having these financial planners transferring their assets to us, but we are extremely interested that they are fit perfectly with our business model, and so clearly that they are able to exploit the huge potential in terms of organic growth that Fineco is able to offer. In terms of the source of the financial planners that we are recruiting, we have, as usual, three main sources. One are financial planners coming by the other organizations. Second are bankers or private bankers coming from traditional banks. And finally, we have what we call beginners, that they are young people that we recruit. Because we want to keep our pipeline of young generation fully alive, because again we think that one of the biggest risks in front of the financial planning industry is a relatively rapid aging of the financial planners itself. The asset allocation is remained pretty much the same. We have 65% represented by bonds and 35% represented by equities. This is the asset allocation of the asset under management component of our business. On the stock renting, on the stock renting, this is not the calculation, the right calculation. Okay, so the right calculation is in the range between 6 and 7 million euros per year, yes, but this year. But clearly you have to expect next year there is the overlapping of other plans, because I want to remind that, for example, we have the financial planners with the 3-year stock granting plans entering in place, and so we can expect next year, and I will give you in a few seconds the exact amount. Some words on advertising on trading. So there is no change in our business direction. So the main focus remains clearly on investing, because it's by far the biggest opportunity we have. But on the other hand, clearly the brokerage is a great business, which the bank is a leader, is a European leader, and so is typically that we have some advertising flight, and so this is strictly related to the seasonality. So this is a perfect period of the year to place advertising for trading, and so there is not signaling any change in our business direction.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Matteo Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is on net interest income. I just like to know if, given that the UniCredit bond that you bought are indexed to 1 month Euribor, if the let's say the negative effect of the fall of the Euribor is already reflected in the third quarter, or we have to consider a further decrease in NII in the fourth quarter. The second question is on the higher bonus for the network because of the very good sales and also the very good mix of the inflows. Are we going to see this additional cost in the net commissions, as I think? And a clarification on the Common Equity Tier 1 capital that basically didn't grow at all in the third quarter compared to the second quarter. I didn't understand the answer. Maybe I'm wrong, but if I remember well, in the first and in the third quarter, basically you do not accrue the income of the quarter, or I am wrong. What's the reason for the fact that it was basically flat quarter on quarter in spite of 35 million of net profit? The explanation was unclear to me, I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's start with the net interest income. So the answer is yes, because practically we can say that clearly, considering that our bond portfolio is most represented by senior floating rate UniCredit notes, that they are with an indexation to 1 month Euribor, we can say that clearly we touch practically the bottom, because clearly in the third quarter the average 1 month Euribor has been 0.07%. So at worst we can expect a further decline of the remaining 7 basis points. So, but clearly it's a negligible amount, less than 1 million euro of additional impact. And on the On the high bonuses for financial planners, yes, the answer is yes, is in the net commissions. And regarding the core tier 1 third quarter, Lorena, please.
The quarter one tier quarter, you have to consider capital and with net profit, that is the same net profit used in the first half 2014, and we have an increase from 1950% to 1976%, thanks to the less consumption of capital in government bond operation in government bond lending that we have made.
Yes, but the question is related to the accrual or not accrual of the earnings.
No, it's not accrual.
It's not accrued. I remember well. In the first and in the third quarter, there is no accrual of
The same net profit, not profit, sure. Used in the first half 2014.
Okay. I remember well. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Federico Salerno of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Couple of questions, please. On the guided products, we've seen a nice increase again in the quarter. Do you have a target for next year? Do you have a number in mind that you can share? And then on the full cost of the stock grants for 2015-2016, if you have a number, as you said, I'd be curious to have it. Thank you.
Okay. So regarding the guided products, clearly our goal, our aim, is to push as much as we can in that direction. It's clear that we are gaining momentum because the network is becoming more and more comfortable with this kind of approach. At the same time, also the clients, because clearly the environment characterized by interest rates close to zero is making for us much easier to propose structured solutions, because clients are definitely looking for advising. And so clearly we have not a specific target in mind, but clearly because we are pushing a lot, we are continuously getting a great return in terms of clients. We are entered in a kind of uncharted territory, because in terms of what we, and clearly it's in a rational world, I think that you can expect to have the vast majority of the asset under management treated in that way. Clearly, that kind of target is not achievable tomorrow morning, but clearly it makes a lot of sense in terms of I can confirm that remains one of the key pillars of our future strategy, and I have to say that I'm extremely pleased to see that we are accelerating and we are making progress that they are above our expectations. And for next year, on the putting everything together, all the stock granting plans for financial planners and employees and so on, putting everything together, you can expect something in the region between 13 and 14 million euros, because it's more or less the double of what we had this year, considering that this year we started in July, and next year is going to be full in place all the year long. So more or less, if you take this very simple rule to multiply by two what we are going to have this year, you are not going to be far away from the right number.
Mm-hmm. And that's after tax?
Yes. No, before tax.
Before tax.
Yes.
What tax rate should we apply to that?
This year we have a running tax rate that is more or less 35%. Next year, Lorena, which kind of tax rate we expect
a slow reduction, also thanks to the new legge di stabilità, thanks to IRAP. That exclude cost of staff expenses.
So we have more or less a 33% tax rate in mind for next year.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Fotti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So, if there is you have not any additional questions, thanks to you for attending our conference, and see you and talk to you soon.